I told Miss Michelle, the sign's entitled, Are You Ready to Die? And is everybody all right? So, yes, a great sermon title tonight, all right? And there's a thought behind that, and so we're going to take a look at that tonight. Jim Elliot said this, when it comes time to die, make sure that all you have to do is die. When it comes time to die, make sure and live your life in such a way that all you have to do is die. And how many of you understand what that's saying? Amen. I think as you get older in life, you really have a good understanding of what that really means. I'm gonna use one verse, Miss Michelle. Let's go to verse number 8, and we'll go down through verse number 11. And so we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 8, and we'll read down through verse number 11. And so the Bible says, we are confident, I say and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Everybody look up in here, all right? This is the attitude that every single one of us should have. There's too many people living for this world. This ain't the best thing we got going on. I need somebody to help me. You could lose everything you had tomorrow. You can lose it all. I have woke up and not my whole life been upside down. You can lose everything tomorrow. What you and I have to look forward to is to be present with the Lord, though. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no reason for us to fear death. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's amazing to me how many people fear death. All right. I get it all the time. I'll be out on the golf course and it'll be lightning and the owner, he'll come in and he's like, man, you need to get out of here. I said, JR, I'm ready to go, bro. Everybody all right? I'm ready to go. If God wants me to go today, listen here. I need everybody to look up here. If God decides that it's my day to go, you ain't going to stop it by getting me inside on a lightning storm. All right. And so I'm not tempting God. I'm not running out there and saying, God, please strike me. But I'm not going to live in fear either, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I am kind of looking forward to that. All right. I love my house. I love my family. I love all of that. But I am really looking forward to spending an eternity in heaven. All right. And so Paul says, we're confident and I say and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse number 9, it says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now we have confidence that to be absent from the body is to be present of the Lord. But now he's saying, now, wherefore we labor, we work, that whether we're here or we're there, we're accepted of him. Amen. Now I want you to think about that for just a few moments, all right? All right, so if we have the confidence to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, then Paul goes on and he says, therefore we labor to please the Lord, whether we be here, present, or absent, meaning being there, where our work and our labor is to please the Lord. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Come on now, I need you to help me. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. We're not working for the things of this world. I'm thankful that you have a job, and I'm thankful that you have what you have, but that's not what we're working for. As a Christian, if you are saved, if you're saved in here, say amen. Then our job and why we labor is to please the Lord. That's what we're here for. We're here to please the Lord. That's why we're left here. If it was about you going to heaven, he would have checked you out as soon as you said, Lord, come into my heart and save me. But he left you here to labor for him. So we have a job to do. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? All right. Go to verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you said you were saved in here, you're going to be at this judgment seat with me. Amen. And you and I are going to stand before God because our job is to labor. Everybody look at me. Our job is to labor. If we are saved, then our job is to labor. Whether we're present, whether we're here in body, or we're absent, our job is to labor. And we will appear before Christ and we will give an account of our labor. I need somebody to help me. You wouldn't expect any different. If you owned a business and you had to hire people to work, you would want them accountable. You wouldn't want to just write a paycheck just to write a paycheck unless you got too much money. If you got too much money and you're doing stupid stuff like that, put me on your payroll. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Why y'all quiet? You mean God's keeping a record? Oh, you thought it was one of these woke parents. It was a woke father. It was a woke father. He don't care. No, he's keeping a record of what you and I are doing, and we will stand before God. So now I ask you the question, are you ready to die? Oh, I need somebody to help me now. Are you ready to die? Don't be hollering yes. Don't dare holler yes unless you are certain you're ready to stand on that platform, just you and God, and give an account for your labor. Now, I'd like to go ahead and propose something. We probably all need some work before we are ready to die. Verse number 11, let's look at it. The Bible says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When I was growing up, I was told that this was in reference to the judgment seat of Christ. They made it out like, man, God's gonna he's just gonna deal with us. But if you read the text, and if you read in verse number 10, he's dealing with our works. Here, knowing the terror of the Lord, he's talking about another judgment.
Amen.
We know it as the great white throne. This judgment, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So as we look at this tonight, I want you to notice a couple of things with me, and we'll move on quickly. And I wrote this down. I got this quote, and I don't remember exactly who said it. But the quote is this, it is possible to have a saved soul and a wasted life. It is possible to have a saved soul and a wasted life. We all must appear at this judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat. If you go to the judgment seat of Christ, that judgment seat, it is one word, and in the Greek, it is Bema. So that's when you see Bema seat, or when you hear Bema seat, and you hear the judgment seat of Christ, it is one and the same, all right? But as we look at this, we know that our works will be judged at this judgment, or Bema seat. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 12 through 15, and Mr. Shell doesn't have it up there, but we must, our works will be presented before God, and they will be tried by fire, according to the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so we know that our works, or our labor, is going to be judged, and we know how it's going to be judged. It's going to be judged by fire. But do you know this? Not only is our works going to be judged, but the motives behind our works will also be judged. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and if you know that passage of scripture, then you know 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 is the chapter of love, if you will. But in chapter number 13, in verses 1 through 3, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, or have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So what Paul is saying here is not only are my works going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but he's letting us know that our motives behind our works. Look at what he says. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, wouldn't everybody agree that that's a good work? But Paul said, if I did it with the wrong heart, it profiteth me nothing. I need somebody to help me. Man, it messes us all up when Bible gets in the way of things, don't it? And so we not only are we judged on our works, but we're also judged on our motives. Many people are doing some good works in this life, but they're doing them with the wrong motive. And so Paul clarifies for us that we will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be held accountable for our labor, whether it's good or bad, and the motives behind our labor, whether it be good or bad. So I got three things I want to give you, and we'll get out of here, all right? Number one, what we know. Miss Michelle, you can put that up there, what we know. What we know from the passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I'm going to go back into chapter number 4 just for a couple of verses, but we know in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5, what we know is life here is troublesome. Can I get a witness right there? The Bible says this, for which cause, in verse number 16 of chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what we know is that life here is troublesome. But we also know that life here is temporary. The Bible says in verse number 18 right there, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, listen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what you and I know is this, everybody look up here, life is troublesome and life is temporary. Listen here, you say, I'm having a hard time, I'm going through a tough time. Hey, it's temporary. I need somebody to help me. Say, preacher, I've been going through this for years. It's temporary. I need you to hear me right now. Because what you and I don't comprehend is this. That little span of time that you and I are breathing air on this earth is very tiny compared to eternity. And so our life is what we know is our life is, yes, it's troublesome. Matter of fact, Job, I think it's Job chapter number 14, verse number 1. Did you put that down, Miss Michelle? It says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of, say it with me. How many of you can testify to that? How many of you had some trouble today? Come on, tell the truth. Ain't none of y'all had a good day. I can tell it on your face, all right? Something happened today. You had some trouble. I say, preacher, is this new? No. Man that is born of woman. And let me just go ahead and clarify this for the woke generation, all right? If you're sitting in this building today, you was born of a woman. Amen. I don't care what it thinks it is today. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of, say it with me, trouble. So we know that life here is troublesome, but we know life here is temporary. All right. Now, why is that important, preacher? Because of what we do. All right. Stay with me. We know life here is temporary. We know life here is troublesome. We know life here is temporary. So what we do? What do we do? Verse number 9 of chapter number 5. It says in verse number 9 of chapter number 5, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So in verse number 9, we find out that we labor. What we do? What are we to do? All right. We know that life is temporary. So what are we supposed to do? We're to labor. Say, preacher, that's just elementary. But why is it that it's so hard to get people to labor around the church? Amen. Why is it so hard to get people to labor when it comes to bringing somebody to the Lord? If you know it, then you'll be held accountable for it. If you know it, come on, I need somebody to help me. If you have the knowledge of it and you know you're supposed to labor, don't look at me like I'm preaching something that's elementary when you're not laboring. What do we do? We labor. How do we labor? We persuade men. Hey, look at verse number 11. We persuade men. We because of what we know. What do? We help me, y'all. Because of what we know, life is temporary. What do? We labor and we persuade. Why? Because the coffin ain't the end. The coffin isn't the end. Your mama in a coffin isn't the end. Your daddy in a coffin isn't the end. And therefore, since we know this, we labor persuading men. I need somebody to look here. I don't care if you don't do anything else around the church. This is something every single one of us ought to be doing every single day of our life. Why? Because of what you know. Because of what you know. You know that life is temporal. You know that there is an eternity past the grave. And so therefore, what should we do? Labor and persuade men. What does it mean to persuade men? What does it mean to persuade somebody? To change their mind. To what? To urge them. Is somebody else? To convince them. To draw them. Anybody else? What are we doing? Hey, why don't you come to church with me? Is that persuading men? Hey, our church is having... is that persuading people? Come on, I need somebody to help me now. Look here. If your child... I need somebody to get real serious with me right now. Y'all answer this for me. If there was a fire through that door right there and your child was walking there, what would you do? We're not on Facebook Live, are we? We are on Facebook Live. I can't tell the story then. That's why I hate Facebook Live. Come to church. Quit being sorry. Get off your butt and come to church. Amen. That youngin was going through that door right there. You do whatever it took. Make sure that youngin didn't go through that door. And yet you know people are going to die and go to hell. What do we do every day? Now tell me, what's persuading me? If you do that for your child, would you do it for your mama? Come on, I need somebody to help me. Would you do it for your mama? Oh, my mama's not here. Quit being all technical about it. If your mama was walking through that door and there was a fire back there, what would you do? If your daddy was? If your friend was? And yet there's a fire on the other side of the coffin. And name one, not the first one of us doing what we can to persuade. I'm talking about tackling somebody. Don't tell them the church told you to do it. Lastly, we're done, all right? What we do, we labor. We persuade men. Why we do it? Because judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. There's a judgment for the saved. So if you're saved in this building, I'm going to be judged by how I persuade men. Say amen. I'm going to be judged. So there's a judgment coming for me and how I persuaded men. But I want you to know this, and you already know this. This is why we labor, because there's a judgment coming for the lost world. There's a judgment of the lost. We know this from Revelation chapter number 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so, you and I have a responsibility. Why we do it? Because judgment is coming. Judgment of the saved, judgment of the lost. Did I miss one on that one, Michelle? Judgment for the saved, judgment for the lost. We do this, let's see, judgment, that coming judgment. You didn't change all this for me. Yeah, you did. Because of the love of Christ. Why we do it? A judgment that's coming. B, the love of Christ. I want you to notice this verse with me. It's found in your text right here. It says in verse number 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live," everybody say it with me, "unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So why do we do it? We do it because we know there's judgment coming. But we do it because we love Christ. I mean, do you believe that Jesus died for you? Come on now. Hey, I'm going to need more than about five people to say it. Yes. Do you believe? Everybody said they're saved in here. Most of them. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Amen. So you believe that God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son. "And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That was the kind of love that God had for you. You believe that God commendeth his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then if you believe that, then you must believe also, or you must believe that your responsibility is to love him. And therefore, I persuade men and I labor, not only because of the judgment that's coming, but because of the love that Christ had for me. And the love, everybody look right here, that I should have for him. Lastly, the responsibility I've been given. 2 Corinthians, if you've been in my Bible and you've been in my Sunday school class, we've gone over some of this stuff, but we have the ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Why we do what we do? Because there's a judgment that's coming. Because of the love that we have for Christ. But because of a responsibility that we've been given. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And we have the message of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as verse number 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We have the message of reconciliation. Tonight, I asked a question to start it off. We're done. I told y'all I was going to be quick. Are you ready to die? Brother Trent said no. Come on. No. Brother Philip said no. I'm with you, brother. All these people are scared of that, like I'm trying to trap them into something. No, I'm not. Jim Elliot said, when it comes time for us to die, to be ready or to be at a point where all we have to do is die. I'm not scared of death. Not one bit. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But to stand up here and boast and say that I'm ready to meet God right now, I've not been a real good ambassador for Him. I'd like to say, and man, I'm going to get to say, there's a lot of people that I've seen saved through my preaching, through ministry, through me, personal evangelism. There's a lot of people that's been saved. But to say that I am the soul winner that I should be, I'm persuading men as I should. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Because I look at my family that didn't share Christ with me, and I don't see that they didn't drink, that they didn't touch, that they didn't do those things. But what I do see is that they didn't share Christ with me.
Yeah.
And it's really dealt with me, because I think, I thought for the first 5 years that I was saved, why did they not reach out to me? Why did they not tell me? Why did they not, why did they let me go through all these horrible things in my life?
Right. Right.
And it's the worst thing that we can do for our testimony. We can quit drinking, we can quit cussing, we can quit doing all these things that's so in the world.
Right.
What the world doesn't have that we have.
That's good. Amen, Miss Logan. That's really good. Did everybody hear that? Yes. She said, you can quit doing all kind of stuff. You can have a testimony, you quit drinking, you quit smoking, you can do all that, but it's the world can change those things. What the world doesn't have that you have is Christ living in you.
Amen.
And so the worst thing that you can do as far as your testimony is not share it.
Yeah.
Not to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. I like it. Praise God. I like it when the Holy Spirit moves. He's just moving over in this area. I'm waiting on him. He's moving over there. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Amen. Our job is, and I praise the Lord for the blessings of God's life. I think everybody in here can say God is good. But there's a lot of people out there that don't know God. And that's what this sermon was about tonight. Our job, our labor, is to go out and persuade men. So let me encourage you, all of us, to work together towards that goal. Sunday morning, we fill a church up. If we got serious about telling somebody, hey, listen, there's a fire in that. And I love you too much to let you go through that door without telling you there's a fire there. You keep that in mind when you're talking to your coworker tomorrow. Keep that in mind when you're talking to your family member. There's a fire beyond that door. And I wouldn't be doing right by you if I didn't tell you about that fire. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Take this time and commit. Listen to me. Everybody look up here. Before we go to prayer, everybody look up here. If you won't commit to it, you won't do it. That's why we try to get you to put your name down on that paper and everything else. Because if you won't commit to it, what most people do, I'm guilty of it too. Somebody sends me an invite and I'm like, let me see if anything better comes up. I'm afraid that's how we treat church nowadays. Right? So if we won't commit to it, you ain't going to do it. So you make your mind up tonight whether or not we'll share it tomorrow. I need somebody to look up in here now. You're going to make your mind up tonight whether or not you're going to share it tomorrow. It ain't just going to come to you. You're going to have to commit to it. Heads bowed with me, if you will. Let me ask this question before we leave. Knowing what we know, knowing what you heard tonight, there's a judgment seat for those that are saved. Will you commit to persuading men? Knowing what you know tonight, there's an eternity and a great white throne of judgment for the lost. An eternity in the lake of fire. I want to ask you this. Do you know where you'd spend eternity tonight? You say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I am sure I don't want to go to hell. I wonder if you'd just raise your hand right up. Preacher, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Is anybody like that tonight? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, I thank you for Lord Camp. I thank you for the young people. Thank you for those that have weathered the storm to come to church tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you have touched all of us, convicted all of us. Lord, as I preach, I realize I'm not ready. Lord, I want to be with you. Be absent from this body, Lord, to be present with you. I'm not scared of dying. But Lord, I don't want to meet you empty-handed. I don't want to stand before you and give an account of something that I haven't done that was so easy for me to do. A responsibility that you've given to me to the message of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. And Lord, I ain't shared it. God help each one of us to commit, Lord, to persuading somebody between now and Sunday. Maybe even persuading somebody each day between now and Sunday. Because of what we know, there's a fire behind that door. There's a fire beyond that door. God, help us to persuade others. Lord, for your honor and glory. Lord, we love you and thank you. I ask you to help us, to empower us, Lord, to give us boldness. Lord, present opportunities. Lord, that we may persuade men.